welcome to His Vision Ministries. This is Pastor Shane. Let's take God's precious word this morning, if you would, and turn to the 1 John chapter number 5. Now, this is not the Gospel of John, but the Epistles of John, back toward the book of Revelation. You can find it very easily. Just go to Revelation and then turn left, and you'll come to it. 1 John chapter number 5, and we're going to begin reading here together in verse number 11 through 13. Notice what God's word says. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, that this life is in His Son, and that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to Almighty God. Let's pray at this time. Father, today in the mighty name of Jesus, God, I want to pray for every one of the viewers, every listener, God, on this network. I pray, God, that you would just anoint this message. God, I pray that everything that's said would bring glory, honor, and praise to you. And I pray for every person, God. I lift up every need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we are speaking on the subject of coming to God with confidence. And we ask the question, well, what is confidence? The world says that confidence is trusting your own judgment and abilities, and that you value yourself worthy, and regardless of any imperfections or what others may believe about you. That's what the world says. The word confidence, by the way, is used some 54 times in the Bible. And God says in His Word that we should not have confidence in the flesh, over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, but Psalm chapter 118 verses 8 and 9 says that it is better to trust the Lord than it is to put confidence in man. And so our confidence comes from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking today about coming to God with confidence. Samuel Baxter said this about confidence, and I quote, he said, "Our Lord has the right to expect of those whose name is His name and have His nature in them an understanding confidence in Him. God expects of us the one thing that glorifies Him, and that is to remain absolutely confident in Him, remembering what He has said beforehand, and be sure that His purposes will be fulfilled." And that's what Samuel Baxter says. Oswald Chambers says this. He captures that same thought when he said, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through Him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." And so, friend, I want you to know right now, we are living in a time when you turn on the television set or you go out and you listen to the radio, there are competing political advertisements of people who are divided. The people are divided in our nation. They're divided over political agendas. They're divided over what COVID-19 disagreements, what they agree and disagree about that. All kinds of division we're seeing. And what is for sure is the question many are asking. I mean, what is it that's for sure? And so we are living in an age, we are living in a time when it is hard to distinguish the difference between what is true and what is not in every area of life. I mean, it's in the marketplace. It's in our jobs and people and family and lives, even in the church. Everything happens in a church that's happening is not the truth. Three simple things I want to drive home in this message as we think about the subject of coming to God with confidence. Number one, for those of you that are taking notes, we can take confidence in God through His Word. Friend, we can take confidence in God simply through His Word. And we can definitely take confidence in the fact that everything that's written in the Word of God is truth. Someone says, "Well, Pastor Shane, do you believe that Jonah was in the belly of a whale?" Let me give you my answer to that. Yes, I believe with confidence And the reason I believe with confidence is that I believe it was a God-prepared fish. And God's word tells me that Jonah spent 3 nights in the belly of a whale. With confidence, I believe that. The Bible, by the way, starts out by telling us with confidence how life began. People in the world will say, well, there was some big bang millions of years ago and that created this chain reaction, and it started with a blob and it kept getting larger and larger until, guess what? Finally, here we are today. And so the problem with that thought is that it has a lot of myths. It has a lot of opinions that I can't put my confidence in myths and opinions. Anything that is uncertain, I'm not going to put my confidence in it. And so I know what God said in Genesis chapter number 1 with confidence. I have confidence that it's the truth. I believe God's word from Genesis to Revelation. He said in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe that with confidence. It goes on to read that He created every form of life in the sea and in the sky and here on planet earth. And so He created man and He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, the Bible says. That is what God says right here very clearly in His Word. And I have complete confidence in exactly what God says. Listen, when you go and you turn on the television set or the radio, go out and search any news media outlet, whatever it may be, there's all kinds of suggestions out there on why America and the world in which we live is in such disorder and disarray. The problem with the worldview is that everybody has a different opinion. There's too many opinions out there. But friend, I can tell you in one word exactly why the Word of God, that is the Bible, that we are in the mess that we're in today. The Bible tells us. Here it is. It is the word S-I-N, sin. If you go back to Genesis and you read chapter 3, you'll read about the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Man fell. Listen, let me say this about the mess and disorder that we're in. Listen, Washington doesn't have the answers. The fake news that comes on television doesn't have the answer. Politicians don't have the answer. All of these worldly ideas and suggestions that come from these sources don't give us any solutions. They don't give us any answers. The Bible does have, though, a confident solution. And it's when somebody gives their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and they are changed from the inside out. It's going to take people truly being saved and living for the Lord Jesus Christ before we are going to see any type of order in the mess in which we're currently in. And so I want you to understand that we have confidence in God's Word. You know, I've read where a preacher tells about conducting a rap session with high school teenagers. In it, one girl asked, the Bible says God loves everybody, and then it says that it sends people to hell. How can a loving God do that? And so the preacher said, well, he gave the answer, and she came back to me with arguments. And he said, I answered her arguments, and she responded to my answers. I did not convince her, nor did she convince me. Soon, he said, the session was over. Well, afterwards, he approached this girl, and he said, I owe you an apology. He said, I really should not have allowed our discussion to become so argumentative. And then I asked, may I share something with you? And she said, yes. So he took her through a basic presentation of the gospel. And he said, when he got to Romans in chapter 3 and verse number 23 and suggested that all of us were sinners, he said that this girl began to cry. And it was then this high school senior told him that she was having an affair with a married man. Now, the reason she did not believe in hell was because in her heart, she knew that that she was sinning. She knew that she was living in disobedience. She knew that she was living against the will of God, and she was living in sin. Her conscience condemned her. But rather than face her guilt, like many people don't, she simply denied any future judgment or future hell. And so, friend, I stand here this morning, and I want you to know that I can tell you with complete confidence, excuse me, it doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter what any politician or naysayer say. When we come to the end of our life and we refuse Jesus Christ as Savior, as our personal Savior, and by the way, I want you to know, if we choose to live how we want to instead of the way that God wants us to live, the Bible confidently says that we will spend eternity separated from Jesus in a real place called hell. I want you to know right now, if you're watching this broadcast, if you're listening to the podcast, there is a such place, it is a real place, and it's called hell. The Bible is confident when it teaches that if we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that if we live for Him, that we'll spend eternity in a place called heaven. I had heard on Larry King Live in an interview with a group of people, including John MacArthur, and I know he's going through a whole lot of crazy stuff right now, in my opinion, but there was John MacArthur, an evangelical pastor. There was a Buddhist, an atheist, a rabbi, and a few other people. And someone, one time someone said, on that show, they said, well, I believe the way that you get to heaven is you go and you take a test, and if you have a passing grade, you make it to heaven, and if you have a failing grade, then you don't make it to heaven. And this was the rabbi that was on that show, I believe. Friend, I'm here to tell you something, and I want to say this as clear as I know how. The only test is what the Bible says with confidence, and that is Jesus is the way. There is no other way. You can't get to heaven by good works. You can't get to heaven by a passing grade or a failing grade. I want you to know right now, you better accept Him. That is the only way to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Secondly, there is no confidence at all in the world's way. If you're trying to live by the world, there's no confidence in that. When we look at things out there from a worldly view, the first thing I think of personally is temporary. Everything worldly, everything that the world looks at only brings temporary satisfaction. People that struggle with things on the internet, people that struggle with sin, it's only temporary satisfaction. When we focus on the world, we neglect the spiritual things. And so there's nothing in the Bible about worldliness that's good at all. You won't find anything that tells you that worldliness is good in God's Word. We can be confident in that statement for sure today, my friends. But if you are placing your confidence in this world in which we live instead of God, I want you to know something. You are headed for complete, total disaster. The Apostle Paul says that worldliness is equivalent to spiritual immaturity. And we read about where he addresses the believers at the church in Corinth over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. You can also jot this down, go and read in James chapter number 4. It tells us that anyone who desires to be a friend with the world is an enemy of God. Now, I want you to know something. There are some out there, some groups of people there who would say things like, well, if God is real, then, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And why would God allow something like that to happen? I've been asked those questions. Pastor Shane, why, if there's a real God, if God is a loving God, why would He allow these things to happen? And so this group just says, or they come up with, well, I don't believe there's a God. Now, I want to say something, friend. The Bible says, God's Word here says with confidence that this thought is foolish. Psalm 14:1 reads, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. Listen, I didn't say that. I didn't make that statement. God says that in His Word. Now, in today's time, there are a lot of opinions about absolute truth. Years ago, we had men of God like Martin Luther, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Spurgeon. In my lifetime, there were some men like Dr. Jerry Falwell and Dr. Adrian Rogers. And they would stand on the truth of God's Word. They would not compromise anything. They would stand on God's Word. And we still have a few good men that are out there standing to preach. I've got friends like Dr. Tony Crisp and Brother Brian Crisp and some men of God that still will stand on God's Word. There's still a few good men out there, But I praise God for these men. I do. But I've served in ministry with some people who have a warped sense of thinking about how the church ought to operate. And I've witnessed uncertain messages sometimes that deny the basic truths of faith that God's Word teaches. And then you have some people out here on television trying to rip people off. And so the question is, who do you trust? I mean, some of you may be even saying, well, Pastor Shane, I don't even know you that well. I don't know if I could trust you. Listen, friend, there are too many people today who want to listen to someone who delivers what I call a feel-good sermon. And friend, I'm here to tell you, I may only have one listener left here at His Vision Ministries when it's all said and done, but I'm going to stand completely on the truth of God's Word. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand on God's Word with complete, absolutely without compromise. And I want to say something else. By the way, I'm not going to serve in any ministry whatsoever where there is a puppeteer up there pulling the strings for me to be a yes man. I'm not going to be a yes man if it's contradictory to the Word of God. The only person that I'm going to answer yes to is Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, number one, we can take confidence in God simply through His Word. Number two, there is no confidence in the ways of the world. And number three, this morning, my dear friend, is this. God desires Christians to have confidence in Him. He desires you and I to put our confidence in Him. Not in the world, not in things, not in people, but in Him. And I want to remind you of the title of this message, Coming to God with Confidence. That is what God desires. He desires for us to be confident as Christians. And so if you don't know Jesus, you're living without confidence. There is nothing confident in your life if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not being confident in God, it's going to lead to destruction in your life. It's going to lead to despair. But when you are confident, I want you to know something. It brings a peace that surpasses all understanding into your life. I want to share a few verses about coming to God with confidence this morning, and I pray that these will be encouraging to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Write these down. The Bible says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And then we go on to read in verses 38 and 39. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Excuse me, my allergies are killing me. But this verse here, my friend, when I read this, it gives us, you and I, confidence that there is absolutely nothing in this world, nothing in heaven or on earth, that will ever be able to separate you from the love of God. Let me share a verse that I live on. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. The Bible says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Amen? My friend, I'm confident that if I'm living for God and I'm doing what God asks me to do, and He is for what I'm doing, I am confident right now. What does it matter what anybody else thinks? You know, I had someone contact me a while back via text message, and they asked me to make a public statement and lie about something that was not the truth. And the reason they wanted me to lie was to make them look good. And they tried to play this game with me, and I didn't buy into that immediately. My discernment was not good about what they were trying to get me to do. A month later, I was contacted by someone else via telephone, and they said, "Well, Pastor Shane, can you quit sharing the truth? It's hurting the kingdom work." Well, friend, I'm not going to compromise, and nobody is going to get me to lie for them. Listen, I will only share the truth. I just kind of laughed and thought, the audacity of some people. Friend, I want you to know today, if God is for you, who can be against you? Let's wrap up this morning Go back to John chapter number 5. I want us to look one more time at these verses. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Excuse me. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. Friend, there are a lot of things I don't know. Even as a pastor, I'm going to admit there's things I don't know. But there is so much in God's Word that I personally don't understand. But if God wants me to preach, if God wants me to teach it, He's going to give me the wisdom to do that. But I sure can be confident in one thing, and that is these verses that I just read to you. They tell me, my dear friend, and they ought to tell you too. Here's what they say. If you have the Son, that is Jesus Christ, then you have eternal life. And if you don't have the Son, Jesus, then you don't have life. When Dr. Wilbur Cosby Bell, Grand Soul of the Episcopal Church, an honored professor at Virginia Theological Seminary, when he learned that he was to die soon, here's what he said, and I quote, "Tell the boys that I've grown surer of God every year of my life, and I've never been so sure as I am right now." Friend, there is only one choice in this life, and you have to decide if you're going to accept Christ and live the rest of your days on this planet for Him, or you've got to make the decision to reject Christ and live the way that you want to live. I'm going to give you a warning right now. If you're going and waking up every single day of your life and living the way that you want to live, you probably ought to do a spiritual checkup. And I'm just being honest. It's a decision you've got to make. Will you live for Him, live by His ways, glorify Him, praise Him, pray to Him, read His Word, hear what He's got to say to you, or will you reject Him and live the way of the world? That's the decision you've got to make. Will you put your thought pattern in the money that you make? Will you put it in the career that you have? By the way, if you're putting it in how excited you get in the ministry, and it's a false, fake, feeling type thing, and that becomes an idol because you like to be seen, that's the wrong reason to live. If you're putting it in your cars, your house, your real estate, I mean, you name it. If it's worldly, then really you're probably rejecting the Lord Jesus. Let me say this, and we're done. Can you be confident today, my friend, that you love Jesus and that Jesus loves you? Jesus Christ, He is ready right now for you to receive Him as Savior of your life if you don't know Him. Come to God this morning with confidence. Father, today in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, rebuking the devil for the cough spell that I had during this message. Lord, I pray that it did not cause distraction to anyone watching. But God, today I want to pray that God, that each of us would have confidence in who You are, in Your Word, and in the things that we've discussed here. God, I pray for every viewer, God, today that their confidence in whatever situation they're going through would be in You. Lord, we give You praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you have a blessed day. God bless you.